إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف علیه وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Once during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, a man was seen talking to a lady in a very discreet manner in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. Once during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, a man was seen talking to a lady in a very discreet manner in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. It was the usual habit for Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, his nightly patrols, doing jawla in the night, making sure that all the people of Madinatul Munawwara are sleeping with peace and security. And he was the last one to go to sleep and wake up early at the time for tahajjud. So during his nightly patrols, he was a man who would not miss out any incident. He saw clearly that there was a man talking with a lady in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara late in the night. Now, ulama have mentioned some of the characteristics of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Each individual had his own habit. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was very unique, and permission was given to him. He commanded that authority. Allah gave him that ru'ab. Whenever he would walk, it is said that he would either have a whip in his hands, or at times he would even have an asa, a staff, a stick, which is also the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. In fact, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah speaks of this sunnah in the Quran very clearly. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. O Musa, what is in your right hand? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. And he said, this is my asa, my staff. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had an asa all the time. This is the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi wasalam. This time Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an was holding a stick. Now one must not forget also that every sahabi owned a sword. What is it? Every sahabi owned a sword. So to keep a sword in your house, it is also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I've got a sword, alhamdulillah, and it's under my pillow. That's how you keep your wife in control. That's a joke. Alhamdulillah, I was given the good opportunity to buy a sword from Makkatul Mukarramah, and this sword was bought from there. And I recall clearly during the dars of Mufti Sahib teaching us Tirmizi Sharif, a great muhaddith of his time, and he said, unfortunately today the Sikhs have adopted their natural roots and tradition, and they have fought the law, and today they have the right to carry whatever they want. Even if you're a policeman and if you're a Sikh person, you can wear your turban. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the case, Musa? So they fought, and eventually when you fight for something, inshallah, in sincerity, Allah blesses you with that. Now, to own a sword does not mean that you're a terrorist.
No.
Women have knives in their kitchen. And you have a lot of utensils, a lot of things in your house. If you go some parts of the world to carry a gun, it is perfectly normal and part of that society. So to have a sword does not make you a terrorist. Islam means to be a peaceful citizen.
MashaAllah.
To invite people of the good character that is in you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is da'wah in itself. So this is the khulq of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the subject of what the companions would carry. So some of them would have asa, but every single sahabi owned a sword. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een, when they went out, even for salah, many a times in the ahadith it comes that they would put the sword on the side and they would perform salah. Alhamdulillah, there is nothing wrong with that. And this was also part of the Arab tradition at that time. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab was carrying a stick at that time, holding on to it. Now we saw this man talking to this lady. Immediately he got to that individual without saying a word. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an very lightly striked at him with the stick. So you see, mar. This man took offense to that. Ulama have mentioned Hazrat Umar did not recognize him, nor did he recognize Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar did his duty, took the stick and slowly whipped him. And so he took offense. And he said, why do you hit me? And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said to him, why do you talk to a woman in a discreet manner in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara late in the night? So he said, so what if I talk to her? She's my wife. So what if I talk to her? She's my wife. Hazrat Umar responded by saying, I don't care if she's your wife. And I hit you a slight scourge to your body, anticipating that she's only your wife. For if it was a stranger, a strange lady to you, your ghair mahram, believe me, I would have punished you in the most severe manner. I was hoping that she is your wife, and that is why I just tapped you with the stick. Don't tell me that she is your wife. Allahu Akbar. Very soon he realized that this is Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and that he is talking. So what if she is your wife? Don't tell me that. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala went on to explain to him and said, my brother in Islam, as Muslims we have to follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We must never be complacent. Don't even give people the opportunity to see you in this manner so that they spread false rumors about you. Now nobody knows you here.
Mm-hmm.
This lady is in hijab. Nobody knows. Late in the night you are whispering to her, getting close to her. There were no lights at that time. There was no electricity. Madinatul Munawwara was a very different city.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to talk in this manner late in the night, you are giving people the opportunity to point fingers at you.
Mm-hmm.
So why give them that opportunity? Islam teaches you, اِتَّقُوا بِمَوَازِعِ الطَّهْمَةِ. Save yourselves from places in which you might even be blamed for something that is nothing to do with you. That has got nothing to do with you. تَهْمَتْ كَي مَقَامْ سِي بَجْوَ. And this is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I am giving you advice, why do you speak to her in this manner? And so this individual said, Amirul Mu'mineen, the truth is, I am a musafir, a traveler. I have just arrived to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara now. And I was speaking with my wife doing mashwira, where we will spend the night. And these were my words to her, and you noticed me speaking to her in this manner. I was whispering, I did not want to disturb people. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, what a great leader he was. Amir al-Mu'mineen gave the asa back to him and said to him, forgive me, I did not know that you were not the citizen of Madinatul Munawwara, because the people of Madinatul Munawwara are accustomed to this lifestyle and they understand the level of haya that we have here. You have all the right to hit me. Take this stick and hit me. Take your revenge. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an gave him the stick. This man got hold of the stick and he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I forgive you. Hazrat Umar said, no, you have to strike at me. He said, I forgive you. And this continued for 3 times. 3 times Hazrat Umar said, you have to hit me. And he said, no, I cannot strike at you, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Subhanallah, muhaddiseen have mentioned that in our times today, perhaps we can't even comprehend this situation that has occurred. A lot of us might feel, well, this man was in his right to even talk to this lady. After all, it's the legal spouse, partner, wife. Why should anyone interfere with that? Muhaddiseen have said that what we fail to understand is the very high level of haya in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. The very high level of haya. And the truth is that today, because we live in an immoral, immodest society, people have become shameless. So shameless today that when our Muslim women see other women wearing jeans, they want to wear jeans also. And they want to expose their body parts. And after a certain period of time, it becomes routine, it becomes a norm for that community. So because we live in that environment, you go to the London Underground, it's like people are living in their bedrooms. Well, everything is happening there. Go to the park and you will see, you know, how debauched people are, shameless people. And they do everything openly in the society. And so because we are living in that environment, it becomes very, very difficult for us to understand the action that was taken by Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Islam professes haya. Islam promotes haya. And haya of a very high level. Very high level. Subhanallah al-Azim. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَفْعَلْ مَا شِيْتْ. When a person becomes behaya, when he becomes a shameless person, he has no haya in him, then he is prepared to do anything. He is prepared to break all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He has no haya in him. There is nothing to stop him because he does not fear. There is no haya. He is not bothered about the society. He is not bothered about the people around him. He will want to do whatever he desires. So it was the level of haya in Madinatul Munawwara at its highest level, at its peak. This continued from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the period of Khulafa'i Rashidin. If you recall, a similar incident occurred in the time of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out from the masjid and he was speaking to Hazrat Safiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And two of the companions were passing in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking, he pointed out to the two companions, wait, wait. And they waited. He finished his conversation with the wife, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ulama have mentioned she was fully covered. Nobody could recognize her. She was wearing a hijab. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped the two companions and said to them that, look, this lady who I am talking to is not a stranger to me. She is my wife Safiya. And the two Sahaba, the companions, started to cry immediately. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, would we ever doubt you? Would we doubt you that you need to clarify to us? We believe in Allah and His Rasul. Whatever you do, our eyes can be wrong, but you can never be wrong. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, ash-shaytanu yajri kamajri dami. The shaytan whispers in you and he flows in you like how blood flows in your veins. He has the power to enter in you wasawis. Wasawis, subhanAllah. And this is what happens. He wants to build a scenario, a false scenario. This is what happens. That is what you call rumors. You do something, you are talking to someone, somebody will say something, pass on the information, that person will add some salt and pepper, and then he will pass the information to that person, he will put some more spice, the third person will put more Indian curry, more spice, until it is blown out of proportion. By the time it gets to the fifth person, it is nothing, nothing at all, of from what it started. It becomes a rumor, it becomes tuhmat. You are accusing a person. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly mentioned that be very, very careful when you speak. Be very careful. This tongue is a powerful tool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. If someone gives you an information that this has occurred, فَتَبَيَّنُوا بَيْتَّهْكِيكَ كَلُّوا verify أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. You've heard from here, we've heard from there, and then you speak and give information, pass this information. You are culpable, you are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can question you. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to the companions, if you doubt anybody else, possibly that can be passed through and understood and nothing might affect you. But doubting even to a degree of the greatness of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away your iman, snatch away iman from you. And in protecting the iman of the companions, he said, "Ash-shaytanu yajri ka majri dami." Look, this is my wife. And so the same sunnah was applied and adopted by the companions. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, what happens? Slight pressure from the British government, and we will find individuals talking about hijab and the covering of the face and veiling it as if it is some kind of an innovation, as if it has got nothing to do with Islam, as if it is all about culture. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Yes, we don't want to go into the masail. If you want to know the masail, what is the masla of a woman wearing a scarf or a woman covering her face, go to the ulama, go to the mufti and clarify the masla to him, that this is the city I live in, this is my environment, how should my wife dress up? The masails differ. Every 48 miles the masail can differ. So ask your mufti what he says to you. Never mind the mas'ala. But to take the veiling or the covering of the face to be some kind of innovation or something that has got nothing to do with Islam. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Remember, it was highly recommended by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his time. So fine, if women who are not covering their face, veiling their face, that is a separate issue. But we must not come forward and become muftis and scholars and mujtahids and give our own opinion and be apologetic. Be apologetic, what for? Leave the masail and the rules of Islam in its own category, in its own place. We have to show the strength of Islam. We, alhamdulillah, we have to respect the law of this country, but the law must also respect Islam. 2 billion Muslims, and when you live in a democratic society, that is democracy. That a person can dress up how he wants. How he wants. Whatever he wants to do. SubhanAllah. So why should we give our fatwa? And why should we, al-iyazu billah, speak of something that is not right? That is the problem today. Slight pressure and we want to compromise. We want to compromise. We want to compromise. We need not to compromise. A lot of the women today who have been wearing hijab, I've heard many a times, all of a sudden they say, oh, life has become very, very difficult. And as if they are ashamed of the rule of Islam. What's this mask that a woman wears. It's not a mask, subhanAllah. It is a symbol of respect. Symbol of respect. Look at the Christian nuns. Perhaps the only difference is that they don't cover their face. They don't cover their face. A few weeks ago, we had an opportunity to go and visit one of the Leicester prisons here. And we were escorted by some of the Christian chaplains. And there was a Christian nun there. Christian nun. And believe me, the Muslim community that was there, I said to them, look at this lady. What is the difference between this lady and a Muslim lady who wants to wear a jilbab? What is the difference? Again, this lady has covered all her body parts from the top to the bottom, dressed in such a manner that all her body parts are covered. The only difference was that she did not veil her face. So these are the rules of Sharia. We need to understand the concept of hijab, of masail. SubhanAllah, just to put in front of you the very high level of haya during the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a muazzin by the name Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiyallahu ta'ala. He was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the blind sahabi. He was the blind sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many a times he would come and visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was allowed, he would come and go. Once Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with Hazrat Maymuna and Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and all of a sudden Hazrat Abdullah ibn Maktoum came. This hadith is narrated by Abu Dawud. And when Abdullah ibn Maktoum came, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do parda. They left the face open. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Abdullah ibn Maktoum and looked at Hazrat Maymuna and Hazrat Salama, and he said to both of them, ihtajiba minhu, are you not going to do parda from a ghair mahram who is here? And so the wife said, ya Rasulullah, alaysa huwa a'ma, is he not blind, the blind sahabi Abdullah ibn Maktoum? He can't see us. So why should we do parda? Alaysa huwa a'ma, he is the blind sahabi. Subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, afa'amaya? Are both of you blind also? Are both of you blind also? And this was educating Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah, who were so chaste and pure, so pure and decent. Allah praises them in His Kalam. And so He's saying, He is blind, but are both of you blind also? So what if He is blind? You do hijab in front of that man who is a ghair mahram to you. So make hijab. And here we find that both of the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam making hijab. Why? To maintain that very high level of haya, modesty. Remember, my respected brothers, 95% of all the divorce cases brought to the ulama is due to the fact that there is not the right discipline, the right concept of hijab that is taking place in the Muslim homes. And therefore we find that the marriages don't last. We want to adopt the modern society, and what happens? Today this man, this boy, young boy, he has performed nikah, and the next minute he comes crying and he says, oh gee, my marriage did not last, Mauli sahab, you performed nikah. What happened? What happened? And the same stories that you will hear. We never seem to learn. We never seem to learn. The beauty of Islam is, Islam recognizes the weakness of human beings and therefore wishes to provide for them some hope and security. At the first degree, to protect them, not to say to them, never mind, delve into that situation, make yourself as a challenger and then see how you can save yourself. That is not the method of Islam. Islam recognizes the weakness of an individual, and Islam wants to protect that individual from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Don't even get close to that person, stay away from him. Subhanallah. Islam doesn't say, oh, stay with him, but whatever bad things he does, don't do that. No, no, stay away from him. This is the method of Islam. An example, one hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, Al-Jami'u al-Sahih, and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. Very quickly, respected brothers, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to the companions, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَى. Look, save yourselves from intermingling with women. This is the biggest fitna. And so there was one sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ الْحَمْوَى. أَرَأَيْتَ الْحَمْوَى. Listen to this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is questioned, Ya Rasulullah, what is your opinion of Hamwa? What is Hamwa in the Arabic language? Hamwa is brother-in-laws. Or it can even mean the brothers of the husband. Hamari zaban mein, if the husband has got an older brother, he is a jet. And if he's got younger brothers, they are known as der. Der katan? Jet and der. It's difficult. So jet and der, and we have all these different names for them. But this unique word in the Arabic language, alham, what is your opinion that today we find four brothers, five brothers, six brothers, they are not even, subhanallah, in that level of understanding the sharia, very free-minded people, open-minded people, all share one sitting room, sit together, the young brother is married, she dresses up in a very seductive manner, the older brother looks at the younger Bobby, that brother is looking at that Bobby, this Bobby, all watching a nice Bollywood movie, and everything is happening, and the bigger older brother is messing with the little Bobby, at times even touching her, messing around, everything is happening, but there is no doubt. Allah's Nabi has got so angry with these individuals, when a husband becomes insensitive to the character of the wife, that Allah's Nabi, being Rahmatul Lil Alameen, has called these kind of people dayus, that these people are dayus people, where a stranger speaks to your wife and nothing happens to you. Can you imagine? Nothing happens to you. What kind of a man are you? Do you love her or do you hate her? So normally what happens, we have adopted this Hindu culture whereby a bhabhi is considered to be a ma. How can your bhabhi be your ma? And therefore the brothers will come very close to the bhabhi. The bhabhi at times will touch and bring everybody close. And you know what is happening in India today, in their culture. Temptation. Nobody should blow their own trumpet and say, no, no, everybody wants to acquit themselves from blame. And this is what happens. Incest. Internal marriage that are breaking. At times, women can't even open their mouths because someone from the family member has tried to seduce them. And that person is so closely related that this woman is even shy to open her mouth in front of her own husband. And in fact, if she says anything to the husband won't believe her. And vice versa. The husband wants to mess around with somebody else who is closely related. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is modernism. A hedonistic life. Besharam. Besharmi. Where people, and then when you have partition, oh, you say, we don't want to go to his to that person's house. Everything's too strict, you see. Men have to sit in that room. Women have to sit in this room. And what's all that? Enjoy life. And even today, during Eid festivals, what happens? The babis will come, and all the kakas and the uncles will be there, and this lady will kiss the hands. This culture is there. The lady will kiss the hands of all the males that are there. A lot of these things happen today. And in fact, the father-in-law will say, "Boy, what are you trying to be very pious? He's like your brother." But he is like your brother. He is not your brother. He is not your brother. What do you mean he is like your brother? In fact, Sharia is so strict that at times, if you don't trust your own father-in-law, if you don't trust your own father-in-law, it is not correct for the husband to leave the wife in the same house. If this man is not God-fearing and he has got no taqwa and he is a shameless person, even though at times that person is a mahram, and then Sharia says, no, no, no. Allah has given you the intelligence. This man's akhlaq and character is evil. Subhanallah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you ask me about the brothers of your husband, alham, and you ask me, is there parda? Listen to the decision of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, alhamu al-maut. Alhamu al-maut. The in-laws for the of the wife, as in the brother, the husband's brothers, those that are ghair mahram to the woman, besides the father-in-law, these people are all death for the lady. Now muhaddisin go to explain this hadith, that when one from the couple passes away, then nikah breaks. Barabar. Husband and wife, kisi ka intiqal ho jaye, to what happens? The nikah breaks. That's why she is free to marry someone, the husband is free to marry somebody else. So the nikah breaks. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, these people are like death for you. Eventually they will break your marriage. How? Because at times being members of the family, they make inroads whereby nobody would doubt them. You will doubt a stranger, but you will not doubt your own brother, you will not doubt your own cousin, you will not doubt your own uncle, you will not doubt someone who is living with you and who is related to you. But he shares the same plate, he lives in the same house, you will not doubt. Now it's not about doubting, it is not about creating your temperament that you are doubting the woman or the woman is doubting the husband. It is about discipline, it is about rules and regulations. At times these sunnats of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam can help an individual from a situation that is unpatchable, that is totally unpatchable at times. So much difficulty. And this is what is happening today, my respected brothers. The husband is working, where is the wife? Oh, she's gone to, what do you call that, gym. She's gone to the gym. She's gone to where? To the gym. Oh, okay. Now she's gone to the gym. Mixed gym? Well, only a few men come, but they are on the side. Only a few men come, but they are on the
side.
Wajiwa. And so this is a problem with our society. Look, my respected brothers, I am not saying go home and take your swords out. Ah, big brother. Wait, save me. The least you can do. I am just putting in front of you the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At least we can make a start by enforcing haya. Enforcing haya. That a woman must have haya. She must not casually speak to everybody. She must not speak to everybody. She is not allowed to speak to everybody who she wills. Under necessary circumstances, zarurat ho aadmi, bahut achi baat. Even when we have family members coming, and if you know that someone is the ghair mahram, the woman should not come there. Likewise, the men folks must also adopt haya. This is not just for the women, that parda is for women, and no parda for the men. MashaAllah, women come and here we find people doing gappe shappe with women. Why? Parda is for women, not for men. No, no, no. That is not the case. Huh, your dress code is different. But as far as your khulq, your akhlaq is concerned, we have to be very, very careful. And for our youngsters and family members who live together, sometimes this is a great problem, a very difficult situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. When we look at the lives of sahaba kiram ajma'een, they never ever criticized any hukam of Islam. They recognize that if there is any weakness, that weakness is from us. But what Allah has commanded, Allah is haq, Allah is adl, Allah is latif, Allah is khabir, Allah is khaliq. He has created us and He knows what is good for insan. He knows what is good for insan. Today we know, my respected brothers, what is happening. Subhanallah al-Azim. at least Muslims are protected to a certain degree because of the barakat of Sharia. What happens to those who have no understanding of haya, no understanding of hijab? So this is just a propaganda, my respected brothers. And this is what the shaitan wants. The shaitan wishes to break away and to take away the system of hijab from Islam and to make people immoral and immodest. This was the level of haya in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, that a husband is speaking to the wife and Hazrat Umar came to advise him. A very high level of haya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. We are all weak, my respected brothers, but inshaAllah ta'ala, by hearing the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mothers and sisters at home also, and if we apply these to our lifestyle and how we live, inshaAllah it is nothing but khair for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين